opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 12th of December, 2025, and you are on the clock with Toto Green. Y'all may not know what Toto is. Toto is Tongues of the Ocean, one of the most recent musical projects emanating from the Bahamas. It's like a collaboration of young artists, and they composed a performance, a show that they took to London this summer. They had a great time. I could feel it. You know, old people could feel young people having fun without them in their bones, right? I could feel it. They had a great time. I want to say thank you to Tanisha Pratt, Judah the Lion, and Sherwood Ramming, Chelsea Blues, all the artists that performed. Chelsea Blues is a Bahamian based in London, by the way. You got to check out her music. And on that note, we started the show with Girl I Wanna by Tawn Ash. Girl I Wanna. And I wanted to start the show with that to say this. Somebody can junk and do that for Bay Street, right? Somebody could turn that song into a junk canoe song performance for Bay Street this year, right? It's plenty. I mean, Johnny Cake alone put like four songs down this year, from Whip Wap at the top of the year, Old Head, Big Daddy, Man for Everything, all kinds of music, right? And then, so as I was listening to the song last night, Girl I Wanna, I realized, you know what? My cousin Finlayson, our cousin Spence Finlayson's brother, Junkanoo in the workplace, right? That there's genius in that. We just have to figure out how to apply that model across sectors, right? But in education, can we use local music to teach young people literature and to grow a culture of appreciation for English language, literature, communication, comprehension, right? And all those little literary mechanisms that help to build an articulate human, someone who can figure out how to express themselves clearly to any audience, right? It's in the culture. And that's what the young people gravitate towards music. And guess what? They love hip-hop, and all hip-hop is literature set to music, right? So we have it right there in our hands. These guys are just, they're colorful. In fact, young men, you could listen to the music and listen to how older men express themselves. Listen to how they talk to women. Go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to Gombe days, right? Like Charlie Adamson have a song, say, Emily, you're eating too much for me. Have you ever thought how are you gonna tell your partner, your significant other, your wife, your girlfriend, that you're concerned about her health? You're concerned about her health, right? You're concerned about her ability to navigate the world, her quality of life, right? As well as the economic strain on the household. She just did it so, so, so wonderfully, almost like she had to sit and think for a moment, hold on, this boy telling me, I get a little Gussie Mae, right? Like, but because he understood how language works, he's able to put that into a song that has stood the test of time. Anyway, we got lots to talk about today. Let me tell you what the show is today. I'm looking for the story of the year. I'm looking for 2025 story of the year. It's Friday the 12th of December. We get Christmas in, 13 days? And then there's a haze. Nobody knows what happens between Christmas and New Year's. So I want to start the conversation early. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners. Guardian Radio text line, powered as always by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Before we get into there, there's also stories in the paper, and I'm going to touch on one as we get going. But remember, there's the Men's NGO General Meeting tonight at the Social Services Information and Broadcasting Ministry, their location on JFK and Bethel Avenue. It's called the Aventura Plaza. Physical Planning and Hearing Room is where the meeting will take place tonight, 6 p.m., Friday the 12th. Topic, men's spiritual, physical, and financial health, as well as, I imagine, NGO men's NGO business will be on the table. The speaker is David Williams from International Men's Day and Prison Fellowship. Also, on a positive note, I met Sergeant Hannah in the food store yesterday, and he brought it to my attention. He brought it to my attention that as we were standing speaking, there was a passing out parade for trainee correctional officers yesterday. And the cohort that graduated is the all-male A squad. The all-male A squad. I'm going to say congratulations to those young men. Some may be older, but congratulations, right? And thank you for volunteering for a life of service. Because that's what you're doing. You're volunteering for a life of service. And we say thank you very much. I think the first in a long time, trainee correctional officers, all male A squad 2025. So, what's your 2025 story of the year? Let me tell you all what I have on the list just to get the conversation started. And then I'm going to read, before we delve into it, an article in today's Tribune. The Adriel Moxie killing is top on my list, the first thing I put down. The U.S. indictment. The Michael Johnson probe. Vaughn Miller dies. Rodney Munker dies. Medical miracles, the number of extremely complicated surgeries and procedures that have taken place in country, I think is worthy of note. Debt for nature swap. Minister doesn't get a nomination. Bay Street fire and wildfire season. Is this the year of the fire? Is this the year of the plea deal? The missing surplus and the missing apology. The barge and middle class pirates. New era in energy reform. U.S. occupies South Caribbean basin. There's no JCNP in Junkanoo. Is there an immigration crisis or what? The nomination and the national honor. SpaceX. Tropical Storm Imelda. The lady doth protest too much. So that's what I have on my list so far. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Here's a text. In reference to your opening segment, the Bass Hall Legacy Project uses Bahamian culture to teach literature. I believe that UB has used the curriculum in part of their Arts 900 methods of integration. This is awesome, right? This is awesome. So we know that at the tertiary level, right, and in the sort of professional sector where it intersects, where it does its teaching and engagement, that this is already taking place, and we know that we are inculcating a Junkanoo-centered curriculum, right, in some aspects of education. So it's happening, but specifically to these lyrics, and like a space to connect young people to the power of language, right? I would say to the power of literature, because they may think I'm trying to make Macbeth exciting for them. It's possible, you know. It is happening, you know. But what I'm talking about, something a little tighter than that, right? The power of language. And not just the ability to articulate yourself, but the ability to create, right? To bring forth new things through language, because first you have to describe it. You have to describe the new thing that you are creating. But thank you very much again. The Bass Hall Legacy Project uses Bahamian culture to teach literature, and the Bass Hall Legacy Project, the Bass Hall Foundation is a foundation created by Shirley Bass Hall, a prolific dancer, right, and choreographer and culturalist. And so it's just awesome to see them doing that work. And again, they are in partnership with the University of the Bahamas. Okay, so here is the story I want to read before we get back to the top stories of 2025. Traffic death involving a Supreme Court justice ruled accidental by jury. A coroner's court jury found yesterday that a 2024 traffic accident involving a Supreme Court justice's SUV and a 17-year-old motorcyclist was an accidental death. The decision in the death of Breon Sweeting came early in the afternoon after 4 days of testimony before Coroner Cara Turnquest DeVoe. The jury had the option of returning an adverse finding of gross negligence manslaughter, but did not do so. Justice Gregory Smith's SUV collided with Sweeting's motorcycle on September 8, 2024. Again, Justice Gregory Smith's SUV collided with Breon Sweeting's motorcycle on September 8, 2024. And I emphasize his name. I reiterate his name because this is the first time I have seen his name in newsprint. It's also the first time I've seen the driver. In fact, the person who the vehicle belonged to. See, we haven't gotten all the way through the story yet. So I don't know if the justice was driving the vehicle, because it doesn't quite say that, right? It just says that his vehicle collided with the motorcycle. Our initial stories didn't indicate who was driving the vehicle. I see your text. I'm going to get to you in a second. Justice Smith was not present for the full proceedings. However, his statement was read into the record. No members of the deceased's family attended the reading of the findings. Evidence indicated that Justice Smith, driving a black Ford Explorer, struck Sweeting's black Yamaha XTZ125E motorcycle while attempting to turn west while heading northbound. Sweeting was traveling north on the western side of the road at the time of the collision. A pathologist testified that Sweeting died from a fractured skull caused by blunt force trauma. Toxicology results showed he had high levels of alcohol in his system at the time of his death. Donard Leslie Brown served as the evidence marshal. I don't like this at all. If you've been following this case, and you've been following the language used by state actors. And if you've been following this case and seen the language used by media houses deeply affiliated with the current administration, I don't like it because it's taken over a year for the driver of the vehicle to be identified and for the victim to be identified in the formal, established, traditional print media. I've been searching. It's possible that I missed it, you know. Of course it's possible that I missed it, but I've been searching over and over again on this story for a year. I ain't gone to any archives. I ain't gone to the police department. I ain't gone to the Ministry of Legal Affairs, National Security. I went online and searched the traditional print media's digital archives. I just think that we don't respect life in this place. And I mean, you can understand it. We have a terribly complicated history that we don't ever talk about. We don't want to talk about. Why would you talk about it and be trying to sell tourism? Why would you? This story is deeply troubling to me as a road safety advocate. I think about the cultures and actions that underpin and reinforce our attitudes and behavior on the road. I read from the article again. Justice Smith was not present for the full proceedings. However, his statement was read into the record. Boy, boy, boy. Mind you, no members of the deceased family attended the reading of the findings. Were they aware that it was happening? Remember the mother who said she found out that the case was discontinued, the case into her minor son's death? She found out on social media. Dear Breon Sweden, it doesn't matter that you may not have had a helmet on. Does not matter that you may have been intoxicated. See, here's what I mean. A pathologist testified that Sweeting died from a fractured skull caused by blunt force trauma. Toxicology results showed he had high levels of alcohol in his system at the time of his death. What are the toxicology results for the driver of the vehicle? They didn't feel, because I would have expected you to say, and the driver of the vehicle, the larger vehicle, also had a toxicology report, and this is what it said. Why wouldn't you? I mean, we just don't know, right? We don't know. We don't know anything except nobody felt it necessary to put it in an article that the toxicology report from the person driving the other vehicle showed whatever it showed. But I'm just saying. Here's a text. Aaron, why are they describing the vehicle as if it drove itself? Quote, Justice Gregory Smith's SUV, close quotes. So who was driving because they said his SUV? Well, when you get later, the text was sent earlier. When you get later into the article, evidence indicated that Justice Smith driving a black Ford Explorer. Right later in the article, it says that. So we go on, the text goes on. So we just identified the driver. Now we are learning it was an accident at once. I'm not a lawyer. I don't get to question these things in the same way that they can, right? I have an opinion. They have an informed opinion. And the judge makes the determination, right? They had the option of returning at an adverse finding of gross negligence manslaughter. There wasn't an option of an adverse finding of like just negligent manslaughter? It don't have to be gross. See, because in an accident, everybody, when there's an accident, everybody gets like a citation. I was involved in an accident where it was obvious to anybody that I could not be responsible for that accident, right? Given the details. And I still got a citation that said, you know, you potentially being charged with suspicion of driving without due care and attention. Here's the next part. This is a 17-year-old child. This is a minor. In the law, this person is regarded as a minor. All the reading of the immigration bill, that's what y'all want to call it. The smuggling of migrants bill is what it is formally called. And all of that talk about that, right, it clearly says that a child is somebody under the age of 18. This boy is a child. It's not just that he was somebody's child, he's a child. The text says, I only paraphrase it. Y'all sure we don't have a... Here we go. I wanted to read that into the record. I have been trying to follow this story for over a year since it happened. Condolences to the family of Breon Sweeting. Condolences once again. All right, so I see people they're not too interested in what the story of the year is. Is the story of the year the migrant smuggling bill? Is that what everybody wants to talk about? I'm open to talking about it. I could be honest with you, though. I don't like talking about it the way that it has been framed by the government, and I don't like talking about it the way that it has been framed by the opposition or the political culture at all. And I think that we are allowed to interrogate the bill from a different perspective or framework, right? And so I'm prepared to talk about it. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am fine. I would like to talk about what stands out to me. I mean, these bills we seem to be passing.
Mm-hmm.
We just seem to be passing bills, like not really implementing the bills that we pass. I mean, I'm looking at what I think it was, the gang violence. And
the anti-gang legislation?
Yeah, the law exists, but its effectiveness is still unproven to me.
Right. And so just to that point, several weeks ago, maybe into late October, early November, the Royal Bahamas Police Force said like they possibly have a case coming forward. The problem with the anti-gang legislation is, remember when we started watching all those mafia movies coming out of the States and they start talking about RICO and conspiracies, right? And like two hands working together, but they don't know each other, but you could still charge them in the all of that stuff with what Law and Order and all the movies. The issue, I think, with the time, like what we perceive to be a delay may actually be the sort of general nature of trying to construct a prosecution. There's so many different parts and pieces that you have to prove. See, because, okay, so you show that the people are a gang, right? That they associate with each other, right? They have a structure. But then you also have to show that that body engages in nefarious activity. And then you just can't say, well, we see all the cars park around this area and we know they do this in this area. You have to have proof that connects the individuals that you have identified with the activity that you have identified. And so it may be that to construct a case takes a long time. You're talking about our proximity to U.S. culture. Do you know how long the FBI, and let's use the Diddy case, the Sean Combs case as an example. When the FBI goes after you, they could be going after you for a decade. You have no idea.
Okay.
And so it may be the nature of prosecuting offenses like this that has resulted in what we perceive as an abnormal delay?
Valerian.
Yeah.
What could be the delay in the recovery, the Hurricane Melissa? You know, Long Island still faces communication issues.
Oh, let's talk about that. Administrative crisis. It ain't no delay. Let's get on it, right? Like, there are instances where we could see clearly that the government cannot move at the pace of its own policy, right?
You say it so well.
Now, to take it back to your point about the legislation, that becomes apparent when we see copious amounts of legislation being tabled and passed, but we don't see it, quote unquote, being brought to force. Because, now this is, we talk about that delay. I'm not sure that they have constructed, right, like a protocol, the best protocol for properly enacting legislation. In many instances, they table it, they pass it, and when the governor general signs it, that's magic. And the magic of the pen automatically makes it functional. Right?
Oh.
It's almost like magic.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, listen, the final one that stands out to me, because you sort of helped me understand the delinquencies that exist in these people we elect, because they are unable to enforce their ideas.
This is it.
Yeah. The concept of disclosing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm understanding the person who's responsible for that is unable to enforce.
Well, so here's what we know. There's an article right here from yesterday's paper, Pintard: if chairman does not share disclosures, I will. So we have the chair of the committee is Bishop Victor Cooper, right? He's the chair.
Why are you someone who's going to be forgiving? You know, bishops, they work around with somebody who died for sinners and they just embodied with forgiveness. So
yeah, that's not a suitable candidate for the position. So I think the problem may arise right here. Bishop Cooper may be the chairman, but the prime minister and the leader of the opposition also compose the committee, right? And so, like you say, a priest, a pastor, a man of or woman of the cloth may not be the most effective or appropriate appointment for that position because they have to be unforgiving.
Yeah, and I think he was selected because he's forgiving.
And well, I imagine that he is selected because he is mild-tempered and will be able to maintain his composure in the face of numerous obstacles, right?
All right, so he's perfect for the position based on what the government needs to accomplish. What it ain't accomplish. Well, see, they ain't. I tell you, what they want to accomplish is not to accomplish.
That's what it appears to be to people who have been following, right, governance and politics for decades. And that's why, that's why my critique of the Senate, right, that's where it sits, that the function of the Senate requires you to have a degree of experiential knowledge.
Yeah, you went at length. Actually, they just did a rubber stamp.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, anyway.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it because we keep cutting down all the rubber trees in the Bahamas. We keep cutting them down. So let me go right into that article. Pintard: if chairman does not share disclosures, I will. Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard has warned the public he will publicly release the list of officials who filed their financial declarations if the chairman of the Public Disclosures Committee continues to withhold the information. 9 months after the legal deadline passed, his comments followed the Tribune's inquiry to the committee chairman, Bishop Victor Cooper, regarding the status of filings. Bishop Cooper's indirect and unclear responses left unresolved which MPs, senators, and senior public officers complied with the March 1st requirement. Quote, he should release the information, and if he doesn't, we'll just go ahead and release that information to you, Mr. Pintard told reporters outside the House of Assembly. quote, there are some members of parliament and members of the Senate who released consistent with the timeline. There are others who release, I guess they had explanations after. There's at least one member who didn't release at all, close quotes, he said. Mr. Pintard said there is no reason the chairman should not publish the list, adding that transparency is his responsibility under the law. The disclosure deadline was March 1st, though some officials reportedly sought extensions. The system has long faced criticism over late submissions and, in many people's view, a chronic lack of openness about compliance. Mr. Pintard has repeatedly argued that delays weaken public confidence in the integrity of elected officials. In March, he raised concerns that the committee had still not produced the legally mandated compliance list, despite the requirement for annual filings. The committee has previously attributed delays to accessibility challenges and facility limitations, explanations that critics say fall short of what the law demands. In March, the FNM announced that all of its parliamentarians met this year's filing deadline under the Public Disclosure Act. Several Davis administration officials also told the Tribune that they filed their declarations, including Chester Cooper, Glenys Anna Martin, Ginger Moxie, Wayne Monroe, Pia Glover-Roll, JoBeth Colby-Davis, Mario Boleg, Miles LaRota, John Pinder, Leon Lundy, Dr. Michael Darvill, Michael Alkidis. The Tribune was unable to reach several other elected officials for comment. See, here's my thing. Those are just the parliamentarians, right? I appreciate the Tribune. I mean, I don't know if they didn't, they didn't say it, but I appreciate it appears as if they didn't call down public, senior public officials who are also required to comply with the law. But I think it's important that we don't forget them as well, right? We're not attacking them. But this is important, especially after, I'm looking for the responsibility allowance story, especially after in 2023, we learned that some senior public officials' responsibility allowances increased, almost double what they were before, increased, and they amount in some instances to more than what low-level staff make in their entire pay. We're just talking about responsibility allowance alone. And so my question is, what are you responsible for? Because let's be responsible for ensuring that these things happen. And then people are going to say, well, I'm not on the committee. That's not my job. That's not my role. That's not my function. You're asking me to go outside of the purview of my authority. Yeah. I mean, technically, I'm not suggesting that you go to the commission and demand by force the paperwork to publish it. But there can be a public campaign indicating that even those who are being assessed or right by the procedure demand that the procedure occurs the way it should occur. Here is another text. Like I said yesterday, I don't believe the current state of the Senate is an accident. Each administration twists the law in knots to eliminate, quote, older and wiser, close quotes. First, they decimated the backbench and independence of MPs in the lower chamber, and they moved to effectively obliterate checks and balances in the upper chamber with use of all of these, quote, young, smart people who need training and experience, close quotes. This is deliberate. It is deliberate. It is deliberate. I'm not going to go as far as to use the word nefarious because I think that they think it's acceptable. But I also think that they own it. right? That the political class believe that they own the electoral process. They get to define it. They get to describe it. They get to tell us what our vote means. They get to tell us how we should assess, right, determine who we're going to vote for. They tell us what power looks like. They describe it because they describe what is comfortable for them with the expectation that you will follow it, primarily because you don't know any better. But I wouldn't go as far as to say it's nefarious, right? Now, and I'm not saying that you said that either. The text has said deliberate, not nefarious. But I want to take a moment to say this. DeSante Benaby Small is the ideal candidate. She is the epitome of the vision that was sold to us in the Blueprint for Change. When you told us ride the wave with Brave, we expect to see a DeSante Benaby Small on the front of the surfboard with you, sir. She is the ideal candidate for the lower house, for parliament. Right? It has, the critique has nothing to do with equality. We ain't gender bending, right? But she could be a man for everything. She's smart. She's got mother's wit. She has experience. Not time for the Senate yet, though. Anyway, we're going to a break. When we go to the break, Yoga John can do this too, right? Yoga, bring this to Bay too, please, please, please. Please. I mean, I know I say they know JCNP and Junkanoo, but there's no, there ain't no C and no P. And it just ain't. We're going to a break. You're on the clock with Toto Green. We'll be right back. That I used the one she is called to bring round the ding. She got a man for her nails, a man for her toes, a man for her hair, a man for her clothes. Got a man she can...
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bull gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course. Not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Welcome back, welcome back. Look here, one of these days I can be Angelique McKay Green, you know. But I'm still a young'un. It's something to strive for, right? It's something to aim for. So many beautiful and hardworking people in this country. I got a text here that says, but if you don't use the term nefarious, how can we charge them with the gang bill? Congregating together, cars parked together in a certain place and acting together. I mean, that's, look here. The truth is about that anti-gang legislation, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't even hang out with lawyers anymore like that. But the point is this, is that it requires a whole lot more in public engagement, right? But also at the state level, like, I imagine this law is going to need a lot of testing. We're going to see a lot of testing with this law because it's so easy to describe a group as a gang, right? And then you have actors affiliated with political groups using gang symbols. Dear Mr. Minnis, I see your social media campaign. I see you trying to engage the young people. There's a line, though. There is a line. There's a line. All right. I was thinking about that story, Breon Sweeting's story, and I thought of the young lawyer, Mr. Tavari Smith. Now, when I say young, I don't mean inexperienced at all. I don't mean inexperienced at all. He is the lawyer that represented the estate of the man that died in the fatal collision with the police officer who was off duty driving without a license. And apparently, even though the coroner's jury came back with a ruling, a positive ruling, they say, we recommend you charge him with this. The DPP felt there was not sufficient evidence to go forward with the case. And like I say, I'm not a lawyer. So I don't know, but you knew he was driving without a license. But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. But Tavari Smith, the family of Breon Sweeting, this lawyer is a youth advocate, youth justice advocate, and he has stepped out above and beyond for young people in this country. Here's another headline I want to read into the record before we go. Although I'm going to be talking 2025 story of the year until we get to 2026. Of course, we're going to be what's in the news. But here's a headline. Deacon jailed years for attempted incest. This is also in yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Another story that I've been following. A Supreme Court judge on Tuesday sentenced a 65-year-old deacon to 12 years in prison for attempted incest. In passing sentence, Justice Renee McKay said the man's sexual interest in an 11-year-old girl was disturbing. McKay said that sexual crimes against children were too prevalent in the community and that he had breached a position of trust. The convict's name has been withheld to conceal the identity of the victim, who is now 17. See, that's when you withhold, because when the convict was a suspect, they withheld his name as well to protect, right, the identity of the victim. Continue reading from the article. The convict's name was withheld to conceal the identity of the victim, who is now 17. The conviction stemmed from two incidents that took place at the family's New Providence home in September 2019. The victim and her mother had moved back home after experiencing financial hardship, the court heard. The convict, who has been married for 40 years, told a probation officer that he must have been, quote, tipsy, close quotes, if he tried to molest his granddaughter. Listen. I read that again. The convict, who has been married for 40 years, told a probation officer that he must have been, quote, tipsy, close quotes, if he tried to molest his granddaughter. He said that he had, quote, screwed up really bad, close quotes. The man had the support of his church, who believed that he deserved a second chance. The convict's lawyer had called for a sentence of 4 years in prison, while the prosecution argued that a sentence of 30 years was appropriate. I agree. The gentleman, the 65-year-old deacon, was sentenced to 12 years in prison for attempted incest. There's so much wrapped up in that. There's so much wrapped up in that. Here's some more headlines I had on the table for today. Fire unit rescues Abaco from, quote, worst outages since Dorian, close quotes. That's the Nassau Tribune, yesterday's edition. Also in yesterday's Guardian, Abaco hit with load shedding after engine part fails, BPL says. Both great articles to read. I start with The Guardian. Some Abaco residents were without power for hours yesterday due to the failure of the Wilson City Power Station's main electrical compressor. The failure led BPL to implement load shedding on the island, it said, with a solution still not in place. BPL Northern Family Island Regional Manager Marvin Green said that power has been redirected from the Cooperstown Power Station, which normally serves North Abaco, to provide rotational relief for Central and South Abaco customers. Green said the compressor first malfunctioned on December 1st, 3 days after routine maintenance had begun on a generation unit at the station. He said that initially power generation was unaffected because the station's backup diesel compressor supplied the required airflow, but that diesel compressor failed on Tuesday. BPL CEO Tony Seymour said a replacement compressor was ordered and originally slated to arrive on the 8th of December, but shipping delays have led to a new estimated arrival date of the 10th of January. And that's a holiday, hey? Ah, boy. I'm going to read now from the Tribune article. Marsh Harbor's Volunteer Fire Department was last night on the verge of rescuing Abaco from, quote, a pretty dark Christmas, close quotes, after it provided BPL with emergency equipment to restart the island's generation plant following the, quote, worst outages since Hurricane Dorian, close quotes. Roscoe Thompson, head of the Marsh Harbor Spring City Township, told Tribune Business that the department, quote, dropped off, close quotes, the compressor normally used to help fill its oxygen tanks and breathing apparatus to BPL's Wilson City Power Plant after critical equipment failures forced it to shut down completely. Abaco residents and businesses were on Tuesday forced to endure load shedding that left them without energy supply for up to 17 hours or almost an entire day, with commerce brought to a standstill for companies without generators. Food stores and restaurants without backup power supply lost thousands of dollars worth of unrefrigerated product to spoilage, with the lengthy outages also impacting vacation rentals in the Christmas run up. See, that's why I have on this list the new era in energy reform, because everything seemed normal. That's what my Trinity friends say. It's just normal. Everything seems the same. Like nothing has changed, which takes me to this article in today's Tribune business section. Bahamians gain opportunity to invest in $45 million energy project. And I'm going to be honest with you. After remembering and reminding myself of the new era in energy reform, I have to ask the question, why y'all keep finding people that don't have any money? Why y'all keep forming relationships with people, right? The purpose of the relationship is to solve a problem we can't solve on our own, but they keep coming to us for the money to solve the problem. And I know that people out there saying, Aaron, obviously you don't understand the investment world at all. You don't know what investments are about and who can do what. I don't. Because I'm that set of people that don't have enough money to invest in anything, because I'm always trying to catch up because nothing works properly here. Bahamians will be given, just quickly, the opportunity to invest in $40 million to $45 million worth of renewable and microgrid energy projects being developed in Cat Island, Long Island, and Salvador, it was revealed yesterday. See, it don't matter which side of the PPP you sit on, it's us who paying for it. Why are you coming to us for the money? If we had enough money to do it, we wouldn't call y'all in the first place. See, because the problem is this. The government can't turn to us and ask us for the money after telling us about the new era in energy reform. And they're going to be hard-pressed to spend all that money celebrating the new energy and era reform to then turn around and tell us they have to take our taxpayer dollars to do the project. What'll be even worse is after spending all the money to celebrate the launch of the new era in energy reform, you got to tell us you have to spend more money to create a loan vehicle to find the money to do what you said you could do in the first place with our money. It's all our money. It's all us. Why you keep forming relationships with people who don't have any money? You already in a relationship with us and we broke. You need to find some people. Find some people with the monies. Producer, I don't know if the Junkanoo World, Junkanoo, that new young people song about brokies. I just know that there are a lot of adults who are attempting to create positive spaces with their family, you know, with these social media trends. And it's wonderful. You see, the energy is wonderful. Families growing together. But the content, the music that y'all are using is just wholly and totally inappropriate for your children. You can't be doing a social media trend with your children to bees in the trap. I bees in the trap. The trap is a drug house. The trap is where the people is go to use the drugs and then they could like hang out there and enjoy the drugs and then they right there to get another hit. You don't, why are you singing that with your children? You don't bees in the trap. They don't bees in the trap. You don't never want them to be in the trap. You could Junkanoo though. Take your children to Junkanoo. Take them to Junkanoo practice. Take them to go see the Junkanoo shack in their community. Because if anybody can do it for you, it's the Junkanoos. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Toto Green. You guys stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.